All right, so we are diving into Deuteronomy today.
Oh, yes.
Now, when I first saw that this was going to be the topic,
yeah,
I'll be honest,
yeah,
I thought, oh, this is going to be a little dry.
It does have that reputation, right?
It does have that reputation. And in fact, you know, you mentioned in the source material
right.
that it's kind of a conversation killer at cafes.
Oh, yeah. You bring up Deuteronomy and everybody's like, oh, gosh, you know?
Yeah.
I got to go.
So we're going to try to make it not a conversation killer.
Exactly. I'm going to make it lively.
Yeah. And try to bring out the, you know, the juice of it.
That's right.
And I have to say.
Yeah.
I was very pleasantly surprised.
Good.
By a lot of things in this book.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that surprised me most was just how much it pops up.
Yes.
Throughout history. Mm-hmm. And especially, you know, in the New Testament. I mean, it's
all over the New Testament.
It's everywhere. And so that
it really is.
That was really interesting.
Yeah. And that's one of the reasons why I find Deuteronomy so fascinating.
Yeah.
It's not just some obscure book tucked away in the Old Testament.
Right.
It's actually a key to understanding so much of what comes later.
Uh-huh.
It lays the groundwork for a lot of the ideas and themes that we see developed in the New Testament.
Right.
And even beyond that, I think Deuteronomy gives us this incredible window into God's heart.
Yeah.
The importance of community.
Right.
And even echoes of the Garden of Eden.
Right. And, you know,
it's all there.
And you know, one of the things that really struck me was just sort of like how foundational it is.
Right.
For our understanding of
it is
God and community and all these things.
It's like the beating heart of the Old Testament in a way.
Yeah. So in this deep dive, I'm really excited to sort of uncover some of the maybe unexpected relevance of this ancient book.
Absolutely. Because it's not just ancient history. It's a living word that still speaks to us today.
Yeah.
And to really grasp the power of Deuteronomy, we need to understand the context.
Okay.
We need to put ourselves in the sandals of the Israelites.
Yeah.
So imagine this.
Right.
You're standing on the edge of this vast unknown land.
Okay.
A land that's been promised to you and your people after generations of wandering.
Yeah.
That's where the Israelites are at the beginning of Deuteronomy.
Okay.
Right before they enter the promised land.
Yeah, the source material, you know, actually describes it as like a halftime locker room kind of moment.
Oh, I like that.
You know, where they're about to go into the big game,
right.
The second half, you know.
Exactly.
And it's full of this energy, and it's like this nervous energy of hope and anticipation.
And probably a healthy dose of fear, too, right?
Yes.
I mean, they've been wandering in the wilderness for 40 years.
Yeah.
They're about to face all these unknown challenges. So, I think there's definitely some nerves there.
Right.
But it's in this charged atmosphere that Moses delivers a series of sermons.
Okay.
Which make up the book of Deuteronomy.
Right.
So think of it as his final pep talk.
Okay.
His last chance to prepare his people for what lies ahead.
And this is really interesting to me because...
Yeah.
You know, the book of Deuteronomy uses the past to illuminate the present and guide the future, which is almost counterintuitive to our modern mindset.
It is.
Which is, you know, so fixated on what's next.
Future focused.
Yes.
Yeah. We're all about what's coming next.
Yeah.
But Deuteronomy takes a different approach.
Yeah.
It says, hey, let's look back.
Yeah.
Let's remember where we came from.
Right.
Because that's going to give us the wisdom and strength we need to face the future.
Right.
And it's a powerful approach, actually. It's like those stories our families tell.
Yeah.
You know, those remember where you came from narratives.
Right.
That shape our identity and our values. Yeah. Deuteronomy is constantly reminding the Israelites of their history.
Uh-huh.
From the Exodus to their wanderings in the wilderness.
Right.
It's woven into the very fabric of the book.
Yeah.
And it's not just about recounting the past.
Right.
It's about drawing strength and guidance from it.
It makes me think about, you know, my grandmother's stories
about
coming to America. You know, they weren't just tales.
Right.
They were lessons.
Yes.
About resilience and hard work and gratitude.
Absolutely. And those stories, they carry weight.
They do.
A wisdom that transcends time.
Yeah.
And Deuteronomy understands that.
Yeah. Another thing that really struck me was the significance of the where.
The where. Yes.
In Deuteronomy.
Yes.
I mean, the promised land is more than just a backdrop.
It's so much more.
It's practically a character.
Right.
In the story.
It is a character in its own right.
And, you know, the source material uses the phrase Edenic potential.
Yes. I love that phrase.
Yeah.
Edenic potential.
when describing the land.
Yeah.
It's not Eden itself.
Right.
But it holds that promise of paradise.
Right.
A place where God's blessings can overflow.
And it's just mind-blowing to think about how different their relationship.
Totally different.
With the land was.
Yes.
Compared to ours.
Yeah. For them, the land was life itself. It provided sustenance.
Yeah.
It shaped their culture.
Right.
And it was central to their covenant with God.
Mm-hmm.
Their entire existence was intertwined with the land.
Yeah.
In a way that's really hard for us to fully grasp today.
Right. Yeah.
We're so disconnected.
So disconnected.
From the land.
Yeah.
In our modern world.
And the source material actually gives this great example of contrasting mountain life with coastal life.
Exactly. And it shows how location shaped everything.
Yes.
From their diet to their worldview.
Everything. Yeah.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
Now, to navigate Deuteronomy effectively.
Yeah. I think it's helpful to identify the major themes that run throughout the book.
Right. Let's uncover these themes.
Okay. So there are three that really stand out.
Okay.
The first, and arguably the most prominent, is God.
Okay.
He's depicted as a caring parent,
uh-huh.
setting boundaries with his children through just laws,
right.
but always present with his people.
Right.
Bound to them by an unbreakable covenant.
Yeah, that's a profound relationship.
It is.
One built on both love
yes.
and responsibility.
Love and responsibility.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so that's God.
That's God.
What's the second one?
The second is the people of Israel.
Okay.
They are called to respond to God's grace.
Okay.
Understanding that it's not earned but freely given.
Okay.
And their faithfulness actually has a ripple effect.
Oh, okay.
It impacts the surrounding nations.
So their actions have consequences
yes.
that go beyond just their own community. Their actions have consequences for the world around them.
Wow.
It's a big responsibility.
It is.
But it also shows the incredible potential.
Yeah.
They have to be a light to the nations.
Okay.
Okay. And the third theme.
All right.
is the land itself.
Okay.
It's depicted as a place of blessing, mm-hmm. requiring stewardship and care.
Right.
It's almost like a reflection of the original goodness of creation.
You know what's interesting about this is that
what's that?
The source material mentions this sort of tongue-in-cheek aspect.
Yes.
To Deuteronomy.
Uh-huh.
Like, it's reminding the Israelites and us not to get too big-headed.
Exactly. Don't get too proud. Don't forget where you came from.
Yeah.
Don't think you've earned all this.
Right.
It's a gift.
Right.
And with that gift comes responsibility.
Humility.
Humility, exactly.
Okay.
Humility is definitely woven into the fabric of this book.
Yeah.
It's a reminder that all of this, the land, the blessings,
right.
they're gifts, not entitlements.
It's a good reminder for us.
It is.
It is
a good reminder for all of us.
Now, before we get into the specifics of the law code.
Yes.
I think it's really crucial to understand.
I agree.
The structure.
Yes, the structure is key.
Of Deuteronomy itself.
Mm-hmm. Because it might seem complex at first glance.
Right.
But understanding how it's organized can really unlock a whole new level of meaning.
Yeah.
It's like having a map.
Yeah.
To guide you through this rich and complex terrain.
So what's remarkable is that Deuteronomy actually mirrors.
This is fascinating.
The structure
yes.
of ancient Near Eastern treaties.
It's true.
So the whole book is like a formal agreement.
It's like a binding contract.
Wow.
Between God and his people.
That's incredible.
Yeah, it's really amazing when you see it.
Yeah.
These treaties typically had a preamble.
Okay.
A historical prologue.
Okay.
Stipulations, which would be the laws in this case.
Right.
Blessings and curses.
All right.
Witnesses. And a ratification ceremony.
So it's like a...
It's a very formal document.
It's like a legal document.
It is.
Wow.
And it underscores the seriousness of their commitment to each other.
I also noticed in the source material that Deuteronomy can be seen as a series of five sermons.
Yes. That's another valid way to approach it. It depends on the lens you choose to use.
Right.
But regardless of how you interpret the structure...
Okay.
The law code sits at the heart of Deuteronomy.
Right.
Surrounded by context and meaning.
So the law code is the heart.
It's the heart of the book.
And everything else is there to kind of help us understand it.
Exactly. It's all there to help us understand the heart of the matter.
Yeah.
And speaking of the law code, that's where we'll pick up next.
All right. Sounds good. All right. So we've explored the setting and the themes and even the structure of Deuteronomy.
Yeah.
But now it's time to get to the, you know...
The heart of the matter.
The heart of the matter.
Yeah.
The law code itself.
Exactly. This is where the rubber meets the road, so to speak.
Okay.
It's where the grand vision of Deuteronomy.
Right.
The dream of a just and flourishing society takes concrete shape.
You know, it's easy to get lost in the details of the law code.
Yeah, it can feel overwhelming.
Yeah, and just to see it as just like a list of rules.
Right, a bunch of do's and don'ts.
Right.
But it's so much more than that.
But what I'm starting to realize is that these laws are about so much more than that.
Exactly.
They're a reflection of God's character.
Yes.
A blueprint for a healthy community.
Uh-huh.
And even a guide for living in harmony with the land.
That's a really insightful observation.
Oh, thanks.
The source material talks about how the laws in Deuteronomy are meant to help the Israelites create a society that reflects the very character of God.
Right.
Society marked by justice, compassion, faithfulness.
So it's not just about following rules.
No.
For the sake of following
rules. It's not about blind obedience.
It's about embodying these values in every aspect of life.
Precise. And the source material actually provides some fascinating examples of how these laws played out in everyday life.
Okay.
One that really struck me was the law concerning the treatment of the poor and vulnerable.
Okay.
Deuteronomy repeatedly emphasizes the importance of caring for widows, orphans, and foreigners.
Right.
It even mandates leaving a portion of the harvest for them to glean from the fields.
So it's a really good example of how these laws had real, tangible,
real-world implications.
Yeah, implications for how people live.
Exactly. They weren't just abstract principles. They were meant to be lived out in concrete ways.
Wow. And what's remarkable is that these laws were actually...
They were pretty revolutionary.
Yeah, for their time.
Yeah, in the ancient world, the poor and marginalized were often overlooked or exploited.
Right.
But Deuteronomy demands a different way of living, a way marked by radical compassion and social justice.
That's pretty radical.
It is.
For that time period.
It is.
The source material also points out how Deuteronomy connects these laws.
Yes.
Back to the Israelites' own history.
That's right. Deuteronomy constantly reminds the Israelites that they were once strangers in Egypt, subject to oppression and hardship.
Right.
That experience should make them especially sensitive to the plight of others who are vulnerable.
It's like, it's a reminder.
Yes.
That our own experiences of suffering
can and should shape
our compassion for others.
Absolutely. Yeah. Another example that really sheds light on the nature of these laws is the Sabbath year.
Oh, yeah, the Sabbath year. What was that all about?
So every seventh year, the Israelites were commanded to let their fields lie fallow to give them a rest.
Okay.
This practice served multiple purposes.
Uh-huh.
It allowed the land to rest and regenerate.
Okay.
It prevented overfarming and soil depletion.
Uh-huh.
And it also provided this unique opportunity for the poor to glean from the fields without restriction.
So it's almost like a built-in system for environmental...
Yeah.
And social sustainability.
You got it.
It's pretty ahead of its time.
It is. It challenges our modern assumptions about progress and productivity.
Right.
We often think in terms of constant growth and expansion.
Yeah.
But Deuteronomy reminds us of the importance of rest, balance, and care for the land.
So we're seeing these themes of justice and compassion and environmental awareness woven throughout the law code.
They're all interconnected.
What else jumps out at you as particularly significant?
Well, one aspect that I find particularly intriguing is how Deuteronomy emphasizes the importance of memory and storytelling.
Okay.
We talked earlier about how Deuteronomy uses the past to inform the present.
Right.
But it goes even deeper than that.
Okay.
Deuteronomy explicitly commands the Israelites to remember their history, to tell their stories, to pass down their traditions.
From generation to generation.
So it's not just about passively remembering.
No, it's about active engagement.
It's about like actively engaging with the past.
Yes.
And making it a living part of the present.
It's about keeping the memory alive.
Yeah.
And it's not just about preserving the past for its own sake.
Right.
It's about recognizing that their identity, their values, their very understanding of who they are as a people is rooted in their history.
It makes me think about how we often try to compartmentalize things in modern society.
We do.
Like, here's our work life. Love here's it. Our family life. Right, here's our spiritual life.
Here's our social life.
Yeah.
We try to keep it all separate.
But Deuteronomy seems to suggest that...
Deuteronomy says it's all connected.
Yeah, it's all interconnected.
It's all part of the fabric of life.
Right.
For the Israelites, their history, their faith, their laws, mm-hmm. their relationship with the land.
Yeah.
It was all part of a seamless tapestry.
Yep.
And remembering that history, recounting those stories,
right.
was essential to maintaining that connection.
Right.
And living out their covenant with God.
It's such a powerful idea.
It is.
It makes me wonder, what are the stories?
A good question.
That we tell ourselves today.
Yeah, what are the stories that shape our values?
Right, and how do those stories shape our values?
And our actions.
And our actions.
Yeah.
That's a great question.
That's a profound question.
Yeah.
And it's one that Deuteronomy invites us to wrestle with.
Okay.
Now, before we move on, I want to touch on one more key aspect of the law code.
Okay.
The concept of blessings and curses.
Oh, yeah. The blessings and curses.
Yeah, we briefly touched on this
yeah.
when we discussed the treaty structure of Deuteronomy.
Right.
But how does it actually play out
yeah.
in the law code itself?
Right.
Well, Deuteronomy makes it very clear
okay.
that obedience to the law will result in blessings, yeah. abundance, prosperity, peace, and security.
Right.
But disobedience will lead to curses. Famine, disease, defeat,
okay.
and ultimately exile from the land.
That sounds pretty intense.
It is. It's high stakes.
Yeah.
But it's important to understand
yeah.
that these blessings and curses weren't simply rewards and punishments
okay.
handed out by an arbitrary God.
Okay.
They were the natural consequences of the choices that people made.
Okay.
Choosing to live in alignment with God's ways
right.
to build a just and compassionate society
yeah.
would naturally lead to flourishing.
Okay.
But choosing to disregard those ways
right.
to embrace selfishness and injustice
uh-huh.
would inevitably lead to decline and destruction.
So it's about recognizing that our actions
yes.
has consequences.
Our actions have consequences.
Not just for ourselves.
Not just for us.
But for the...
But for everyone.
Yeah, the community as a whole.
For the community and the world around us.
And this concept of blessings and curses.
Yeah.
It wasn't meant to instill fear or guilt.
It wasn't about fear-mongering.
It was meant to motivate the Israelites.
Yes.
To choose life.
To choose life.
To choose the path that led to wholeness.
Yes.
And well-being.
To choose the path of blessing.
That makes a lot of sense.
It does.
It's about understanding.
Yeah.
That our choices.
Our choices matter.
Have the power to shape our reality.
Yes.
Both individually.
Individually and collectively.
And collectively.
Wow.
That's a powerful message.
It is.
It transcends time and culture.
Yeah. Wow. We've covered a lot of ground in our deep dive into Deuteronomy.
I have.
We've explored the historical context, the major themes, the unique structure.
Yeah.
We even, you know, went deep into the heart of the book.
Right into the law code.
The law code, yeah.
Yeah.
It's been a fascinating journey.
It has been. It's such a rich and complex book.
And I think what's striking is how Deuteronomy, despite being, you know, an ancient text.
Yeah.
offers this timeless wisdom
right.
that's still relevant.
It really is.
To us today.
It speaks to the human condition.
It does. In a way that transcends time and culture.
So as we wrap up, I'm curious, what's the bigger takeaway here?
That's a good question.
What does Deuteronomy ultimately have to say
yeah.
about how we should live our lives?
You know, if we connect all the pieces, I think Deuteronomy is fundamentally about understanding our place in the world,
okay.
our relationship with God,
uh-huh.
with each other,
right.
and with the very land we inhabit.
It's like it's giving us this ancient wisdom for how to build a just
yes. Yes.
and flourishing society.
That's a great way to put it.
Not just for the Israelites back then,
right.
but for us.
For us today as well.
Today as well, yeah.
Exactly.
And while the specific laws
yeah.
might seem distant from our modern context.
Uh-huh. You know, some of them we might scratch our heads at and be like, okay, yeah. what do we do with that?
Right.
But the principles they embody are surprisingly relevant.
They are.
The emphasis on justice,
right.
compassion,
uh-huh.
environmental stewardship. These are values that resonate deeply with us even now.
They do. They really do. It's like
yeah.
Deuteronomy is challenging us to think about
yes.
how we can create a more just
yes.
and sustainable world
yes.
even thousands of years later.
It's a call to action.
It is.
It's a call to live differently.
And it reminds us that our choices
yes.
have a ripple effect.
Our choices have consequences.
Yeah.
They impact not just ourselves, but right. the community and the world around us.
And this is kind of like what you were saying earlier. about how the Israelites' faithfulness had an impact on the surrounding nations.
That's right.
Our actions can either contribute
to flourishing,
or to decline.
Wow, that's a...
We have a choice.
That's a powerful thought. Yeah.
We have a choice to make every day.
And it's like Deuteronomy is calling us to step up and take responsibility.
Responsibility.
For the well-being of our community.
The well-being of the planet and even future generations.
Of the world around us.
Yeah. And it reminds us that we're not starting from scratch.
We're not.
We have a rich tapestry of stories.
We have a rich inheritance.
And experiences to draw from.
A wealth of wisdom to guide us.
Not just from our own lives, but from the history of faith.
From the generations who have gone before us.
Yeah, that stretches back centuries.
Exactly.
Deuteronomy encourages us to remember those stories, to learn from the wisdom of the past.
Yes.
And to allow that wisdom
to shape our lives.
Yeah, to shape our values and guide our actions.
Yes.
In the present.
In the here and now.
There's one final point.
Okay.
From the source material that I find.
Okay.
Particularly thought-provoking.
I'm right.
Remember how we talked about the promised land having Edenic potential?
Oh, yes. That's one of my favorite parts.
Yeah, that idea really captured my imagination.
Me too.
It painted such a vivid picture.
It does.
Of what the land represented to the Israelites.
It's such a powerful image.
Yeah. But it raises an interesting question.
Okay, what's the question?
If the promised land...
Uh-huh.
A specific geographical location held that potential.
Okay.
What does that say about the potential?
Oh, I like where you're going with this.
Of the places we live in today.
That's a great question.
Does Edenic potential exist everywhere?
I think it's a possibility worth considering.
Okay.
Perhaps it's not about finding a perfect paradise, but rather about recognizing the inherent goodness and potential in the places we inhabit.
So it's about seeing the promise.
Yes.
In our own land.
In our own backyards.
In our own communities, and then working to cultivate that potential.
To cultivate.
To create spaces.
To create spaces of beauty.
That foster justice, beauty, and flourishing.
Yes. To make the world a little more like Eden.
Wow, what a beautiful...
It's a beautiful vision.
And challenging vision.
It is, but it's a vision worth striving for.
Yeah. I feel like I've gained a whole new perspective.
Good.
On Deuteronomy.
Yeah.
It's not just an ancient law code.
It's a living word.
It's a guide for living.
It's a source of wisdom.
An invitation to participate in something much bigger.
Absolutely.
Than ourselves.
It's an invitation to join God in the work of redemption.
Wow.
And renewal.
And on that note of hope.
Yes.
I think we'll wrap up.
Sounds good.
Our deep dive into Deuteronomy.
It's been a pleasure.
We hope this exploration has been as insightful for you as it has been for us.
Thanks for joining us.
And remember, the potential for good exists wherever we are.
It does.
It's up to us to recognize it.
To recognize it.
Cultivate it and make it a reality.
To cultivate it.
Thanks for joining us.
And to live it out.